Jesus said, "Have you understood all this?" And they answered, "Yes." But I wondered if they just didn't want any more parables. On the face of it, it looks like these parables about the kingdom suggest that the kingdom of God is something that starts out small, but spreads and becomes big. The parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. Maybe we even like to think of our church as a mustard seed. We're kind of small now, but just wait and you'll see. Then the other parables are about finding treasure. Who wouldn't want that? A treasure so great that nothing else really matters anymore. A treasure worth giving up everything else. "Have you understood all of this?" And they answered, "Yes." Except in Judaism, leaven was considered a corrupting influence. We eat leavened bread all the time, but at Sabbath, the Jews ate unleavened bread because leaven or yeast was considered something that, while small and insignificant, spoiled and corrupted the whole batch of bread, making it unclean. It's almost as if Jesus was saying the kingdom of heaven is like a potato box. One rotten tomato eventually makes a stinky mess of the whole box. It is equally strange that Jesus speaks of the mustard tree. If Jesus wanted to speak of the grandeur of the kingdom, he should have talked about the cedars of Lebanon, like the prophets and the psalmists of old. But I don't think Jesus is talking about grandeur, nor about power. The mustard tree was something introduced to the people of Palestine by oppression, a tree that was valued in Babylon, but not in Israel. The mustard seed was another corrupting influence. Think of invasive species. Leaven and mustard were not considered holy things by the people listening to Jesus. Quite the opposite. So we might understand these parables to mean that sometimes we do not understand how God is working in our lives or in the world about us. And it might be an invitation to be open to a different kind of story. It is also an invitation to look back to earlier parts of our lives and note how God was with us, to acknowledge God working in our lives. Have you ever had a bad experience or an experience of suffering that while you were in the midst of it, it was awful to go through, but after time and healing, you were glad it happened to you? Because after time, you see how that experience made you a better person. Perhaps it made you stronger and more resilient, or it gave you wisdom or compassion. So in the moment, we may not value the mustard seed or the yeast, but after it's had its influence on us, we can look back with gratitude. We can see it was an invitation to change and to grow. I used to make my own beer. The biggest variable in making beer is the yeast. Sometimes I got a bad batch of yeast or got too cold in my basement and it wouldn't start. Sometimes it acted too fast and there were explosions. Because yeast is wild and sometimes out of control. Sometimes it ruins everything. Yeast occurs naturally. I don't know if you knew that, which is how the first alcohol was invented. Possibly in ancient Egypt, they think that someone probably left a basket of grain outside in the rain, and as it warmed up, the yeast began interacting with the sugars in the grain, and fermentation began. Now, in the abridged, I mentioned a few landmark decisions of the General Convention of the Episcopal Church, the ordination of women in 1976, and the consecration of the first openly gay bishop in 2003. These changes did not come about easily. In 1974, there were 11 women ordained to the priesthood, They became known as the Philadelphia 11. What bravery it took for them and for the bishops who ordained them. Indeed, at the time, the Philadelphia 11 were probably considered a corrupting influence, like yeast or the mustard seed. It seems like most changes come about through hard struggle. Whether it was women's suffrage, abolition, the civil rights movement, organized labor, gay rights, there's often a backlash when people try to move forward. Yet where would we be if some brave souls hadn't stood in the gap? Shortly after Jean Robinson was consecrated as the Bishop of New Hampshire, there was a Lambeth Conference. Lambeth is a meeting of all the bishops in the Anglican Communion. It happens once every 10 years. Bishops are invited by the Archbishop of Canterbury. Jean Robinson, the Bishop of New Hampshire, was not invited because he is gay, and therefore his presence was considered too controversial. So controversial that some of the bishops from Africa boycotted the conference altogether because they did not want to be in the same room, not with Jean, because remember, he was not invited, but they did not want to be in the same room with the bishops who had consecrated him to be the Bishop of New Hampshire. Bishop Jean Robinson went to Lambeth anyway, not as a participant in the conference because he was not invited, but as a man standing at the gate, waiting to be let in. Not for himself did he courageously do this, but for the people of New Hampshire, for gay people, and to foster understanding, like leaven to flat bread. In his blog, appropriately called Canterbury Tales from the Fringe, he wrote about what was happening outside the gate, outside the official meetings of the Lambeth Conference. He wrote about the people he encountered outside who were also, for one reason or another, disenfranchised from the church. He wrote about how painful it was to be there, to be hated, shunned by some of those invited guests, brother bishops who wouldn't even look at him, or to encounter the confusion of some of the youth standing outside who greeted him and did not understand what all the fuss was about. Sometimes he was greeted with hugs or a high five, sometimes ignored. One man came up to him sobbing, and another gave him a free cappuccino. Whatever you think about the divisions in our church over this issue or any other, it seems to me that Jesus is also standing at the gate. Jesus, the healer, the outcast, the oppressed and misunderstood. To some, Jean Robinson was a corrupting influence. To others, he was a beacon of hope and a healing balm, a leaven to the whole batch of bread. For the outcast and the shunned, for the oppressed, there he stands, talking to the people who are standing outside. Some yell obscenities, while others cry in his arms. Perhaps, like me, you wonder, who does this remind you of? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with flour until all of it was leavened. Have you understood all of this?